Welcome to Chatterbox with hosts Alon and Don. Alon and Don will spend the next hour giving you the latest updates on the gaming world.
I'm Alon.
Apparently.
You're Don.
I'm Don.
I'm Alon. Anybody who's listened to us to this show, like maybe a year ago. Oh, we got more intro? Andrew informed me that
Andrew is freaking out in there. Apparently stuff is not going right.
This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. Andrew, our sound guy, says that a mysterious caped douchebag entered the studio earlier today. And messed with the computer and all the audio on it. So, you know, if we don't have openers, we don't have closers, forgive me.
Don't have middlers.
We blame it completely on Andrew and the mysterious douchebaggery, which is Nate's favorite word. All right.
That is right. I love using that.
My name's Alon, and that's Nate.
Hello.
Everybody. We'll also have Julie on the phone a little bit later in the show. She should get here any minute now. So what we do here is talk about video games, because that's how we roll. And so we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Put together a whole big list for all of us to enjoy. Before we get started, I want to say a couple things. Always do a little housekeeping at the beginning. First of all, we have an interview coming up next week. This week we're clear of interviews and we just get to chat for a while, but next week we have Gabe and Tycho from Penny Arcade. I assume many of you have heard of them. If you go to penny-arcade.com, you can see what we're talking about. They create a webcomic which is wildly popular, and hopefully many of you fans out there will call in and want to talk to them and ask them questions yourselves. Also, later in the show today, thanks to the generosity of Scott at Red Octane, we have several Ignition pads to give away. Those are $100 dance pads for the PlayStation 2 and Xbox. And we have four of them. So I'm going to give away a couple on today's show, one to a live listener and one to a podcast listener. So if you listen at the end of the show today, we'll have a easy contest. All you got to do is call us at 866-536-1100, toll-free anywhere in North America. That's 866-536-1100. If you're in Phoenix, you can also call us locally at 602-277-KFNX. And we'll be taking callers about all the stuff we talk about during the second half of the show. And, of course, when that contest starts, you can call us.
Exactly.
All right, so let's start the show.
All right.
Always like to start talking about what we've been playing lately. I have been playing, well, I got to try out anyway, Burnout Revenge, finally. It took me an extra week to get on that. But, wow, it was really, really good.
Really?
My first match. One of my complaints of the earlier burnouts, any of the three, is that they had these modes where you'd play and you tried to get a lot of crashes and, you know, build up the damage you do, right? But sometimes, like, it would last 10 seconds. And it would take longer than that just to accumulate your score and to load the next level and stuff. And
yeah.
So there was almost no gameplay involved sometimes.
Like, you got to watch it.
Yeah. And it bugged me that there were those modes. I wish they were longer. There were other parts of the game which were fantastic, and that's why everyone's always liked it. But this one, I haven't played them all, so there might still be those short modes in it. But the mode that I played, I think it was Traffic Attack, I was able to go on for like 10 minutes breezing through traffic, and the whole point is that you hit cars on purpose. Instead of trying to avoid them or narrowly avoid them, you hit them on purpose, like you're a Matchbox car.
And really?
You actually, like, when you get below 20 seconds, the only way you can keep playing is by hitting cars, and then your timer increases up to 20 seconds. So you're constantly trying to smash these cars from behind. If you get them head on, you crash. Or if you hit like a really giant truck or something sideways, you get hurt. But you're just cruising constantly. You've got your turbo on because you're constantly hitting cars, building more turbo. You're ramming them in their butts. There's cars going everywhere. I racked up a gold score with like over $1 million in damage my very first time playing. Not to say it's super easy, but it was
Alon's just that good.
It was a lot.
He doesn't have a big head or anything. He's just that good.
It was really fun. So that's what I played. And, of course, I'm still trying to get through God of War and Hulk, Incredible Destruction. But when new games come along, it's hard to go back to the old ones. Now, you, Nate, I know, have been playing something else, care of Blockbuster, where we can rent games as much as we want.
I've been playing Advent Rising, which the game was actually in my girlfriend's car for, like, a couple of days. And then I realized, oh, I probably should play this.
Yeah.
The game's all right. I don't know, it's a third person behind the shoulder. I've been, like, falling into the console. I don't have any PC games. I haven't played in PC games for so long.
Good.
No, that's a bad thing.
That's what we like around
But I've been playing Advent Rising, kind of an old game, but...
Not too old. It came out, like, a month or two ago.
Yeah, semi-old. It's all right. I don't know. I keep getting distracted because they have way too long of legs. and their torsos are very, very tiny.
So you're distracted by the players in the game?
Yeah, they don't look right.
You think perhaps you're distracted by the girlfriend sitting next to you on the couch?
Just because she was feeding me pie at the time? I don't know what you're talking about. Anyways, the game's fun. I don't know, the best I could relate to is like almost like Halo, if it was third person, with the way they shoot and stuff like that, but maybe a little more story. It's kind of... what was the game? You were a vampire hunter? Kind of, but you were a vampire yourself and you died. It was Kane, something.
Like Legacy of Kane?
Yeah, there we go. But it's the thing is like, oh, I move 2 steps, oh, and there's a half-hour cutscene. And then I, like, pick up a glass, and then there's a cutscene.
It does try to be heavy on story.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of got tired of that, because I played for, like, an hour, and probably only played for, like, 20 minutes. Everything else was cutscenes.
Yeah, well, sometimes beginnings of games do that, because they're trying to enter you into the story.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right, I don't like it either. I like instant action.
I just got to the point where I have a vehicle, and then I had to kind of quit, because it was really late. So I'll have more next week to talk about.
That's something I should point out about Burnout, by the way. Someone had said that they weren't a big fan of how this new one, since Criterion only became a part of Electronic Arts when Burnout 3 was almost finished. So basically the game was already settled and put behind them, and it only barely got published by EA. Now this one was under EA's control the entire time. It was Burnout 4, and they were part of EA from the beginning. So, or at least for, you know, a big tail end of it. I don't know if they're producing two games at once, like Burnout 3 and then Burnout 4 started already.
Yeah, maybe.
It's only been like a year.
Yeah, it's been very quick. Burnout 3 was like very...
For really good games to come out, you know, only a year after a previous one, I guess that's what EA does.
They really want to, you know, shoot them out.
Anyway, so Criterion makes this game. And it's really got the EA polish. But I don't know, EA polish sometimes is the type of stuff that can get smudged easily. Like it's got over-the-top intro to levels and a lot of video and a lot of like... Not like... video cutscenes. I just mean, you know, the presentation of it. When you start at the level, there's all these graphics flinging across the screen and video in the background and some girl telling you what you're supposed to do, and it's just like all this sensory overload that EA has a knack for. Their menu systems are wild and in your face, and it's just like, hey, I can tell you're an EA game just from your menu, and I kind of wish I didn't know that. Luckily, Criterion, you know, still did a great job on the game.
Yeah.
But...
They're a little gaudy on the intros.
Yeah,
and
it's just frustrating to see it. You know, there's an amalgamation that happens. When you enter the EA conglomerate, your stuff is going to turn out looking like all of their other stuff. And the hope is really that one day they'll pick up a developer and let them just do their own thing.
Sort of
like what they do with Maxis.
Yeah.
They let Maxis do what they want, and they don't mess with it. Is that the little EA logo at the beginning? Otherwise, it's pretty much, you know, Will gets to do what he wants.
Yeah.
Will Wright, I mean. All right.
Totally falling back into saying yeah all the time. Hate that.
Bit of a tangent. I'm sorry. So there were some other things. Yesterday...
We went to a barbecue.
We did.
Just totally steal the thunder.
Go for it, man.
For the Kingdom of Loathing. BBQ went out there. Awesome meat. It was like this yellow chicken. I don't know what they did. It was great. Put salsa on it. Have a little wrap.
Yeah, I want to present the backstory here that a long time ago, I don't even know how long. It could have been a month. It could have been 3 weeks. Whatever. Nate and the lady... We're talking about this game where their avatars in the game are like happy pandas or silly jellyfish.
I was a panda thief. There was like a martini warrior guy.
I have no idea. Silly little things, right?
Basically, we were like a stick figure. And it wasn't quite an MMO, but it was like a little online game that it was very quirky and funny.
Now, as is common when we're hanging out, I'm half asleep on the floor hearing them talk. And so I have to wonder what it is they're talking about. And they tell me a little bit, but I'm not intrigued enough to actually check this game out because it's web-based and I'm tired on the floor of an apartment.
Yeah.
So little do I know that a month later, I'm hanging out with totally separate friends who I only see like once every 8 months. And they're talking about this Kingdom of Loathing barbecue that I guess, you know, is happening soon, and they tell me, a friend of ours built this game a few years ago, and it's got a real following, and now he lives off the donations from the game, and I'm like, I think I've heard of that game. Kingdom of Loathing?
Yeah, because
really?
I remember, because you came over to my house,
and
you would immediately, I don't think you said hi, you just, like, jumped on me, like, Kingdom of Loathing, what is that?
Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah.
So, it turns out that I have friends who are personal friends with the guy who created this game, that... A completely different set of friends actually played on their own, that being Nate and Heather and everybody else, right? So I was just weird for these two groups to exist separately and all, of course, have the same Kingdom of Loathing
yeah.
thing going on. So I said, hey, Nate, we're going to the barbecue run by this guy who runs a game you like. So that was pretty neat. We got to meet him, and we'll have him on the show in just a couple weeks to talk about how he created a game out of nothing.
Actually, he couldn't come today because they were having a LARP.
Yeah, live-action role-playing
That's
for the
right.
game. Anyway, we'll be back to talk more about video games after these messages.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
Listen to that. Music without strange host names being thrust out over the airwaves.
For the last time, my name's not Don.
Yeah. This is Alon and Nate. And I don't know, do we need to call Julie as a reminder?
You know, when you called her, remember you always said that I always give you an hour reminder? She might think we're on some weirdo time.
No, she
again.
Said, you know what, let me take this call. I'll give you guys a call at 7. So I think we should call Julie.
Live, on the air.
Well, you'll start talking about something, and I'll be able to take a minute to call Julie.
I'm going
to talk
about something? All right.
But we do have a lot of serious things we wanted to talk about today, right? For the last couple weeks, there's been this stuff in the news that we neglected to discuss, and it was, I'm getting bored with the same topic, but it's still something we need to cover.
It keeps coming up, so it's hard to not look at it when it's always in the news.
Exactly. What happened was we never got the chance to really properly talk about the new laws that are going...
Yeah. Right now, it's California, Illinois, and
Illinois
Michigan.
Already has it. Right?
Yeah, they had it, and then California's following up.
Michigan's working on a mature rated game law, which says, you know, retailers can't sell games to people who are underage, rather than just not choosing to sell them, right? And now they want to make it an actual law, but I guess their law's kind of vague. You'll tell us more about that. And then California, I guess Arnold has the law sitting on his desk somewhere.
The governor needs to sign it.
Yeah, he's just waiting to sign it. And it was one thing we read, which I had actually thought about this too, that he makes money off of games, off of mature-rated games, because the Terminator games are mature-rated.
Like hotcakes, those things are selling.
Yeah.
I have 4 copies myself.
So one of...
My friends have them, family.
Jack Thompson and some other guy that I guess he palled up with wrote, an open editorial column for some San Francisco newspaper, even though they're based in Miami. They wrote something that was in a San Francisco newspaper and said... There's a little bit of a conflict of interest because Arnold makes a large sum of money off of these video games.
I'd like to know what their definition of large sums of money.
And me and Nate just look at each other bewildered, what money is being made?
I don't
off
think
of
anyone's making
Atari's
any money off those
Terminator
games.
Because I've never seen a positive review anywhere for those things. And I tried a demo once of a Terminator game, and it was bad. Like, even the model of Arnold didn't look like Arnold very much.
It's
so
some
anyway,
guy.
There are these laws, and the more interesting part is that, was it the ESA that's suing Michigan?
Yeah, they think that, it's so ambiguous, the law they're trying to pass, that it could conflict with the First Amendment. If I can just get my thing up here. I had it somewhere. All right, I don't have it. But anyways, crap.
Let's Where discuss disorganization.
That's what we should do. I had this thing all set out the
right,
way I
so,
wanted to read it.
So I guess there's a law in place, or trying to get signed up in Michigan, saying, you know, don't sell games to minors, and more importantly, if you do, such and such will happen. Now, unfortunately, what they're trying to get to be a possibility, you want to take
I'm pointing
it?
At you because I have it now.
You want to take it?
I went to last week's show, got the show notes, and here it is.
Okay.
ESA believes that the MI law would be... considered a violation of the First Amendment. the law is implemented, it will limit the First Amendment rights of Michigan residents. But by virtue of its vagueness, it would also create a huge amount of confusion for Michigan retailers, parents, and video game developers. This was by Douglas Lowenstein.
He's the president of the ESI there.
Yeah.
Okay. So the concern is beyond that, though. Not just the First Amendment rights. I mean, because people say First Amendment rights.
They throw that around
because they can't think of anything else to say.
Yeah.
Right? But there's also something that says that managers of retail stores
will be held personally liable. The 20-something manager here, he's fresh out of high school. You know,
I was one of them when I was like 23.
So he lets a minor play a violent video game because he's at the store all the time. You know, he's never not at the store when it's on open or closed. You know, he lives there. But anyways, he could face up to, say, 3 months in jail and a fine of $25,000.
The irony here is that the manager I replaced when I went to work for GameStop did literally live in the store. That's one of the things I didn't like. He didn't have a car, so he would sleep in the back room with the alarm turned on in the place, right? He would sleep in the back room in a sleeping bag because he didn't have a ride home.
Wow.
Yeah. He was a complete tool.
By virtue of sleeping in a store, I think that automatically makes you one.
So anyway, yeah, let's say that
I really like the idea of sending these managers to jail, because really, that's the head of the beast right there, the local store managers.
That way he can get raped in jail.
That's right.
It's a great idea. See, my concern here is that there are times when stores are manned by no one who's over 18, right? Which means that this law wouldn't hold any acceptable amount of water, any reasonable juju.
See, the thing is,
you
think that
out the window.
Common sense would indicate that.
Because managers aren't always in the store. They don't work 80 hours a week. They shouldn't. And sometimes an assistant manager, not old enough, or maybe it's like a third key, the person who's not even a manager, right, running the store. It happens. It's built into their time schedules. Whether or not it should be, who knows. But there are times when you might have people who are completely underage running that store with a key to the store. And so why should the managers be held liable because someone else made a mistake, right? The only thing you can do is sue a company for letting that
which
happen.
Which you were pointing out, which seems very fair and seems more reasonable than, say, suing the manager.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because, you know, then you could sue the district, not sue, but, I mean, hold the district manager liable.
Yeah.
He wasn't there either, right? And where does this line stop? Because there's a whole series of management before you get to the top of a big conglomerate.
Really, we should be sending
company.
These 18-year-olds who are giving these kids, you know, the 16-year-old who's got the part-time job at the GameStop.
I think there should be a firing squad.
Letting his friends play it.
Behind every plaza.
That's right.
Have a firing squad to terminate.
Really, they should
literally.
Just put, like, when you work at it, they put a bracelet on. And when they sense that you've sold or looked at a violent video game,
it turns
little cyanide
red.
Like, goes into you, and you just drop.
Yeah, so these are some mild concerns that we have over these laws, which are too vague to be effective.
Very vague.
Right? Now, this leads into a more important topic, in my opinion. Well, not more important, but a more extensive topic. I was having a discussion over email with, I guess, someone who's a fan of the show, someone who's a big enough fan that he would email me a long, extensive email about this subject. And it's talking about how the ESRB wants to start considering third-party modifications when they set the ratings of games, right? And I wasn't able to find any articles or anything that specifically talk about how they're going to manage it. I guess they're wondering about how they're going to do it, and they want to consider these things, but they haven't figured out an effective method or something. So anyway, let's say that they want to consider third-party mods. A third-party mod could be something as popular as Counter-Strike, right? That's a total conversion of Half-Life.
Yes.
Right, and word on the street, we have Julie on the phone. I'm going to change subjects. Let's get Julie on the air here.
I was on the phone with my boss, and, you know, I just couldn't get off. So I'm a little late today, guys. I apologize.
I thought I was your boss.
Yeah. I think you have a commitment to the show, Julie.
Then I want a raise, dude.
All right, 20% raises all around.
I'll give you 100% raise.
Wow, 1,000.
What I was saying is we're talking about the ESRB, and we were just talking about the new laws in place, right, to hold managers liable. I guess in Michigan they have vague laws that say they want to hold managers liable for letting kids play games they shouldn't play. And this led me into a discussion of ESRB and their attempt to consider third-party modifications when they set a rating of a game. So this is, I mean, obviously a reflection of the hot coffee problem, where they want to think basically anything that could happen with this game, if we can see a penis at any point for any effort from anyone anywhere, we want to make sure that it can be an adults-only game. So
pretty much every game is going to have an AO rating.
Yeah, well, this is the point I made in the interview with Jack Thompson when we talked about all this extensively, was that, you know, I could take any game, a typing tutor, math blasters, and modify it to put in all sorts of objectionable content. As if, you know, it wasn't already objectionable.
Oh, yeah, Oregon Trail of Prostitutes.
Yes. Yeah. So, my point is, well, there's so many points. Let's start here. One of the questions thrown to me in the email was just the question of how would this affect the industry as a whole? Because there are professional mod people. Like the guy who made Counter-Strike was just a dude, right? He made Total Conversion Counter-Strike for Half-Life, and then he ends up getting hired. And then Gearbox, the company, gets created. And now they're like an official developer of stuff, but they still work on mods too.
Yeah.
There's all sorts. The post this week on Penny Arcade from Tycho was about total conversions and mods and how professional they are and how great they are, right? And so all these people are working on mods of games that already exist. Now, first of all, you can't imagine what people are going to do with a mod before it's made because you don't know the future.
Yeah. Well, look at games like, oh man, you know, Quake. That was modded forever and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's unlimited mods. And so, what are you going to do?
Well,
are you going to give every game an adults-only rating? Are you going to hold the developer liable after the fact like they did with Rockstar?
Which at the end of time,
as long as
your game is in existence, if someone makes a mod for it...
Yeah, I have some other things to bring up, so we're going to keep talking about this when we get back from the break. And we'll talk a little bit more
too,
with Julie as well.
Sure.
Anyway, we've got news coming up. We'll be back after the news. Stay tuned.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Welcome back, everybody, to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Before we continue, I do have to let you know about UAT.edu. That's the website for the University of Advancing Technology. If you want to become a developer, a producer of sorts, you can do art, you can do
programming.
Whatever you need.
Whatever.
You can do it. Come
animation.
To Tempe, Arizona, or take classes online, because they do it all. Now, I'm also going to give you the phone number. If you want to talk to us about video game stuff, second half of the show, that's when we open up the lines. Phone number is, 866? Yeah, it's 866-536-1100. That's toll-free for anybody in North America. If you're local to Phoenix, I want you to call 602-277-KFNX. That'll get in touch with us. Tell Andrew your name, and we'll bring you on the air. So, again, we've got Julie and Nate with me, as usual. Excellent. And
I'd like to point out, though, is... if people would like to go to my 1UP blog, because it's just driving Alon crazy that for some fluke I have more points than him, and he's just burning up.
That won't last long, buddy.
I know. Well,
it's because you've got more blogs than me. You post more frequently.
I have two. You have two.
You have that first one that says,
oh,
"Hey, listen to stuff." Oh, my phone's gonna ring. All right. So.
Hey, do I have any blogs?
You can make a blog on 1UP whenever you want.
Yeah.
And we can talk off the air about how to get that up and running. That would be
nice.
Awesome.
All
I have
right,
the tendency
cool.
not to ask you to do stuff, Julie, because I'm like, I don't want to bug her too much. I know she's busier than we are, so I don't want to get her to, like, have to do too much for us, because she's got all these other gigs going.
Yeah, I'm not like that at all. I'm always, well, ask Julie to do it. No, yeah. Tell her.
Make her do it.
That's right.
All right, but enough about me. Let's get back to the show.
All right. Because we could talk to you for the whole show, apparently.
Pretty much.
You're off to Canada last week. And
well, you know, I was in Canada doing Electric Playground, but of course the big news is the changing of the guard at G4, which is a
new president.
Pretty big deal. So
yeah, I just found out just now. New
so
president
of G4. We could talk about that, but you know, let's talk about what we were talking about, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners were into the conversation, and then just to change gears like that is unfair. So let's
You're
go
right.
Back.
Oh, there she is, professional, keeping me on task. So we were talking about ESRB, and FOPO was, I guess, the name of the guy who emails me about this, and he's very concerned about how this is going to affect the ESRB and how silly it is for anyone to request that the ESRB even bother to pay attention to third-party modification when they're taking into account ratings for games that are officially released through developers. And his concern is this. Someone wants to mod a game, right? How do you develop a system that they can interact with the ESRB to get their content rated so that it can be released, right? And I realize, well, you know, there's people who mod games who aren't professional and aren't going to even send an email to the ESRB to look at their content because, one, you know, maybe they're not allowed to make that mod in the first place, but they do. Or maybe for whatever reason they just don't want to go through the process. And there's so many reasons. Just who likes red tape?
Yeah. There's no reason one should have to send anything to make a mod.
Well, exactly.
You're not selling it. You're not making any money. You're doing it because you want to.
Yeah, and it's absurd to think that the company that made the original game should have to be accountable for someone else's content.
Yeah.
Just because they enabled it. And there was a great analogy that I can't remember now, but you can come up with all sorts of analogies, like the guy who made the gun being liable for the guy who shot the gun, right? And all sorts of stuff like that. And what I was realizing is this is actually a really great call for government legislation, in my opinion. Let the government rule this area. Let the, you know, some governmental body do the ratings and then hold them accountable for, you know, not rating things properly.
Yeah,
right?
Then it just gets bigger and more less efficient.
No, what'll happen if the
more less efficient.
That's right. I'm a master with words.
King of grammar. So
Wordsmith.
If there's a governmental body instead of a private body like the ESRB, the government takes over. And they do this, and then people have this outcry against this governmental body, right? And modders obviously still exist and still create content, objectionable or not, right? Then it's going to be, oh, well, the government, you know what? They tried, and they failed. Oh, well, they do it all the time.
Yeah, but
and
then
things will go on like normal, and no one will get hassled. No one will get sued because it's the freaking government. And it's a much bigger deal to sue Michigan or some other government, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, once government gets a hold of something, they really never let go. So,
I mean,
if they could start it, but they wouldn't stop
doing it. Let them rate the games. Rate every game at Delta only. I don't care. They'll still be available.
Yeah, and then they do this mod thing, and the next thing, it's a felony offense to put out a mod.
They can't catch you. They can't do anything. The bottom line is the mods will still exist, and ratings will never exist on a mod unless it's sold. And this leads me into the talk about the stupid lawsuit that just happened with Grand Theft Auto San Andreas again.
The second class action
lawsuit.
The really dumb one.
It's basically the same idea as the first one. Instead of an 85-year-old grandmother, it's a mother of a 17-year-old boy, right?
Yeah.
She knew the game was rated M, and she bought it for him, and now she's all upset that Rockstar misrepresented their game, which was an adults-only game.
How much you want to bet it was the PS2 version?
Yeah, and that's my point. Like, I guarantee, I'd risk my left hand that this woman bought the PS2 version for her kids, and her kids have no idea how to mod that thing. They don't have a hard drive in it. They don't know how to use an action replay. They have no idea how to go through the process to do this and have never gotten the hot coffee mod working. And this mom is all up in arms, suing for surely some obscene amount of money.
Yeah.
And damn it, my kids aren't going to play this game because there's a boob hidden somewhere that they'll never find under a rock. And I'm just very upset.
Don't you remember those games back when I was like playing King's Quest and under the rock, oh, there's a boob.
Well, you know, I think I'm suing Disney because you remember that penis that's on the Little Mermaid on
the
cover?
Oh, yeah.
I gotta go get the Little Mermaid. What happened?
Yeah, man, check it out in the castle. Very phallic.
There was
very
another
phallic
one in what was like Pocahontas.
Oh,
they
yeah,
claim it was a
all
stick.
Over Disney.
But
well, I mean, if you do research on these companies,
the point of what we're saying though is, viva la mod. Go do your best, sue whoever you're gonna sue, but the mod will live on, and there's really nothing you can do about it. And all this legislation is just, in my mind, just a big hucklebuck.
A big hucklebuck. That's my favorite word of the week, by the way.
Hucklebuck.
yeah. The bottom line is, just like Julie said, the stuff's going to continue to exist, and it's fruitless to try and go through all of this ordeal. And the ESRB, I know they're trying to protect themselves by saying that they're going to, you know, try to quantify everything in the known universe and come up with new laws of physics to guarantee proper ratings.
Yeah, but the
it's
thing
just
is,
silly of them
that
to even
will never,
attempt.
You know, rating systems are never 100% accurate. Sometimes something will slip through the cracks.
They're never going to be. And the thing is, I applaud Doug Lowenstein of the ESA because he has some balls. He'll step up there and he'll defend the industry and say, listen, you can't try to regulate everything and you can't try to be boss of everyone. You have to face reality, right?
Yeah.
Things exist and things will continue to exist and they exist in a very certain way, right? Because you can't control everybody. And I applaud him for having the balls. And ESRB, I don't know what they're thinking, right? It's like, I don't know, some mother's group stepped in and tried to control their husbands, who were probably president of the ESRB or whatever. It's just ridiculous, the bounds that they're trying to create.
Yeah, it's really nutty.
Anyway, I still say if the government took control of the ratings, it'd be great, because they would inevitably fail, and then everyone would have to shut up, because that'd be the end of it.
Yeah, I just really don't like the idea of the government taking over.
Well, nobody does, but I think in the end it would actually be better for us.
You really think?
I wholeheartedly disagree with you. But hey, you can say whatever you want.
In this one case, I think it'd be better. Because they would try, and they would fail, and they'd be one giant hucklebuck. And everyone would just give up. And that's what needs to happen. So.
Well, no one wouldn't just give up.
They would.
Like, oh, no, we failed. Oh, well.
The government's doing their job, and they're trying, but there's so many hoodlums out there.
There would be an
just,
independent
you can't take care of everybody.
Do you know what would happen, I think? I think it would be like this. It's the same thing. It would just be a pain in the ass for everyone.
Can we say that?
Did Julie just say...
It's the same thing. It would just be a pain in the ass for everyone.
Can we say that?
Did Julie just say grandmas are getting raped in the ass?
You know what I'm talking about, and I apologize. I should have said
that
to myself.
That would be quite a hucklebuck.
Andrew's behind the glass giving me the whole, cut it, move on to another topic.
All right, let's move on. But I'm just getting heated, because when the government gets involved, everything gets more difficult.
I have never been an advocate for government intrusion, but in this one case, I'm standing my ground. Give us a call at 866-536-1100 if you have another viewpoint, a third viewpoint perhaps.
That doesn't involve grandmas.
Or if you just want to yell at me for talking about your grandma getting
grandmas
raped.
Are jungle rape. Now, also going to point out, we're going to come back from the break in a few minutes, and I've got to give away
hopefully
a dance
wash
pad.
This out of our mouths.
We're going to get our Red Octane giveaway under control when we get back from the break. Where I'm going to give away a $100 value Ignition version 3 Xbox and PS2 dance pad. So anyway, make sure you're here after the break. Give us a call at 866-536-1100 as soon as we ask the question that you need to answer in order to win. All right, so I got that out of the way before the break.
All right.
I had to say it.
Good.
Now I had some other things to talk about. On my list here is that I was reading about how I guess a couple people, Ken Kutaragi, who's like big PlayStation daddy, and Howard Stringer, the new super CEO of everything that is Sony, who's reorganizing everything in Sony.
Okay.
They both said, okay, it's going to come out in spring. But then there's other people saying, okay, you know, that means Japan, right? It'll be like another 6 or 7 months before the PS3 comes out anywhere where we'll get to play it without paying a huge import fee. And I got to thinking about this. You know, same thing happened for PlayStation. Same thing happened for PlayStation 2.
Well, it's for all the consoles. They all... You know, have their set.
Well, I don't know. The Xbox actually had a very universal release. It wasn't exact, but it was pretty quick.
It was close.
The DS
still, I mean,
is like
never
a couple
have a
days
universal
apart.
Release.
It's darn close. It's not like, you know,
months
babies
at a
are
time.
Born and develop in the time between when a system is released in two different continents. And with the PlayStation, it was released in Japan with all sorts of outputs and stuff, and the hardware physically changed before it hit the U.S. PlayStation 2, same thing. It didn't have a hard drive bay. It had a PCMCIA slot like a laptop. Came to America... The hardware was physically different, right? I'm getting the feeling that Sony releases stuff in Japan as a test market, a test bed for the hardware, and they refine it. And so maybe the Japanese are actually getting screwed with crappy hardware. I don't know. So
My PSP is from Japan, and it sucks!
Does it? Okay, well, tell us more about that after the break. We'll be right back after these messages, everybody.
Oh, no!
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
Hey, everybody.
We're back. Chatterbox Video Game Radio with Alon, Nate, and Julie. I said that we have a contest. I have a dance pad, an Ignition dance pad from Red Octane to give away. Now, they actually were so generous, they gave us four of these Ignition dance pads.
That's
and
right.
Two copies of In the Groove. In the Groove is, are you ready, folks? The Smash Arcade hit, which has landed on the PlayStation 2. It's, let's see, In the Groove was designed from the ground up by hardcore dance gamers and represents an incredible leap forward in the genre. While maintaining the same addictive gameplay of popular dance titles, In the Groove features exclusive, never-before-seen features like modifiers that make the game arrows spin, change speeds, and boomerang along with over 60 other amazing effects. These insane arrow effects create additional challenges and endless customization for dance game fans. There's plenty to dance to because In the Groove features over 70 songs that span a number of electronic music genres. You should head over to redoctane.com and pick up In the Groove for only $19.99 if you don't win it on our show. This incredible offer is only valid until September 30th. That's only 5 days, folks. Supplies are limited.
I love this game.
Was that the
I'm
one?
I'm not even kidding.
It's a really good game. I was just playing it the other day.
Yeah, that was the one when we were all over, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
me
yeah.
and Heather were playing it.
I am a freaking dance game fanatic, and this game rocks.
So In the Groove.
You guys need to try and win this game because I'm not even joking you. It's very addictive.
Yeah. It's very much like Dance Dance Revolution, and it's actually
very
based
much,
on a PC simulator.
It has bombs.
Yeah, well, you can
can't
put bombs
step.
In. But it, the beautiful part is actually it's made for the hardcore dance game fans where, like, there's a lot of hard songs in it when the earlier games are sort of made for everybody, you know, like 7-year-old Bobby Joe who likes to dance but hasn't quite picked it up yet. So there's a lot of easy songs that I don't want to play because I play the hard stuff. All right, so anyway, here's the question I'm going to ask. Red Octane, they published In the Groove, and it was actually developed by a company named Roxor. They are publishing a new game in November created by another company. My question for the people listening on the air right now is, what is the name of that game? What is the name of the game they'll be publishing in November? It's a guitar-based game, not a dance game. If you can answer that, you win an Ignition dance pad, and I'm just going to go in order.
I know.
You don't get to win, Julie.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You don't get to answer.
Aww.
We have a couple people on the line. First, we have Adam from Canada, longtime listener, first-time contest winner, maybe, I think.
Possibly.
I don't really know. Andrew, let's get Adam on the line. Adam?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey,
there you
Adam.
Are, buddy.
How's it going?
Did you hear our question?
Yes.
All right. So can you name the guitar game that Red Octane is going to publish in November?
Yeah, it's Guitar Hero.
It is Guitar Hero.
Good That's job.
Absolutely correct. Now, I'm going to ask a question of our podcast listeners who are not listening to this right now, but will be listening to it in a few days once we upload the podcast to the website. That game, Guitar Hero, is actually developed, like I said, by another company, not Red Octane. I just want to know the name of the company and one other popular game that that company has developed in the past. So tell me the name of the company and another game they've made. Send that in an email to me, as well as the length of the podcast you're listening to right now. I will choose randomly from the people who send that to me, and you will win a dance pad as well. We'll call you on the air, so I need your phone number, your name, length of the podcast, and the answer to the question in an email to alon@chatterboxgameshow.com.
Your social security number and your credit card number.
A blood sample.
Mother's maiden name.
Now, Adam, are you calling about anything else?
Yeah. You guys said that the game was $19.99, right?
Yes, for a limited time. Normally it's $39.99.
Okay, that eliminates my question.
Okay.
Also, the G4 thing, you guys said that the president was fired?
Apparently he was. This is hot news, which I had not seen anywhere else, but Julie has the inside scoop.
Yes, hot breaking news. Now, actually, I can't say fired because I don't know that for a fact, but I know there is a changing of the guards going on. I believe, you know, this is all just things I've heard, but I've heard that the president, that G4 basically, as we all know, has been wanting to figure out how to boost ratings, because I believe what
maybe by taking off the crappy shows.
Well, you know, the thing is, they're in 50 million homes, and I think the best that they ever get, the best ratings are just, you know, under, I know it's well under a million that they ever get at one time. Well under. You know, 50 million homes, like, you need
that's
to
nothing.
Different.
Chatterbox Video Game Radio reaches, like, at least 5 million households.
At least.
At least.
We're worldwide. We reach trillions of people.
We do. We've got listeners in Scotland.
Everywhere.
England, Canada.
So basically, G4 is looking to do some changing, you know, change the programming. What they say, you know, I think what's been released is they're going to go in a new direction. Now, my question is, I don't know exactly what that means, but I do know that
they're not going to turn into MTV, are they? Where
they already have partly turned into, like, they show stuff that's not video game related at night, you know, and during the day they're sort of video game related.
Yeah,
well,
I like watching them during the middle of the day.
The problem that I see with G4, and I'm not going to name names of shows because obviously I'm on G4 and it's a very sensitive thing, but there are some shows out there on G4, not any that I work for, of course, that have this tendency to make fun of their viewing audience. You know, you watch it and they're making fun of the people that they're making their show for. And I just don't understand how you can do that and expect people to watch, you know? And so, and also there is
it's a love-hate relationship.
I understand what you're saying. And, you know, maybe when you get a job writing an article for a men's magazine like FHM or Maxim, you get a big head and you start saying mean things. See, we call our audience geeks, but that's because we all know that we're geeks.
The hosts of the show are geeks, I think.
Yeah,
so.
I don't like to say that I'm not one. I'm just part of the crowd.
I feel bad if someone addressed me as not.
Exactly.
Someone called me normal once. I was very offended. Yeah.
Now, I also...
It's very different to call someone a geek, you know, in a fun-loving way, and then to say make all-encompassing comments like, you know, people watching this show smell bad and have bad hygiene and are antisocial. You know, something like this. So basically, I mean, there has been a change. I think that the president has been, there's a new man in charge. Oh, I shouldn't say man. It could be a woman, but I doubt it. And so we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen.
Now, I should point out, too, that earlier today, Nate showed me an article at Game Daily. And the people there, I guess, had watched a lot of G4 and decided, hey, G4 has a lot of junk. But there's actually some shows that aren't junk. And in this order, they actually said Electric Playground, not crap. And so you're not just, like, saying, because you work for them, that that they're not one of the crappy shows, because actually a lot of people like that one.
They did. Well, it wasn't a shiny review. They did say some things that
they pointed out some problems.
It could boost the shows.
They wish there was a little bit more of an opinion, but I know you've discussed how you specifically try to avoid having opinion on Electric Playground.
Well, I mean, I think that's what we do purposely, you know, try and make it more of a news show, presenting everything unbiasedly so you can make your own decisions.
But now, it's the view of that journalist that is less interesting, but that's up to him to decide if he wants to watch or not. Now, the second show in their list was Judgment Day, also a Victor Lucas show.
Exactly.
I think Vic is on that show.
Exactly. He does both of the shows, Electric Planet and Judgment Day, and those are the two shows that
are good.
That they specifically like.
It's got something to do with him. He's got the touch.
Yeah, then they had a couple in-house G4 shows, Cheat and one other that I can't remember the title of because I'm not looking at the article. But I just wanted to point that out. Kudos to you, Julie, and your crew for creating the shows that people actually like on G4. And Andrew, I'm sorry, Adam, we've got you still on the line, so I guess I can let you go now. You've won a dance pad worth $100, and oh my god, I have to ship it to Canada!
Ooh,
man!
Sorry.
Wait, Adam, before you go, I want to know, do you watch Electric Playground up there in Canada a lot?
I actually watch on G4 Tech TV.
Apparently you watch it in the store all the time.
And he watches it in EB,
where
he works.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, so thanks, Adam. I'm going to need your address and everything. Send me an email. God, there's going to be, like, VAT taxes and all sorts of junk for shipping stuff to Canada.
Well,
look at him complaining.
I'm going
out of my pocket,
Canada,
Julie.
Canada is the best country ever.
Out of my pocket.
Canada.
They have bags of milk. They are so advanced, they don't need cartons anymore. They're literally bags of milk.
Yeah, you know, every country has those except the U.S.
When I go to Canada, I just come home happier. That is a place. Andy, you are in a good place.
All right.
It's like stepping into 1986, really.
It was Adam.
When you go to Canada.
All right. Now, before we go, we have like 1 minute left. I want to report on one more thing. 2 minutes left, I guess. One more thing that we've talked about in the past, and I think we're pretty much going to put the nail in the coffin on it now. I talked a long time ago about trying to do a Katrina effort relief effort here in Phoenix, and I talked to people at the Salvation Army who were running part of the show there, and they tried to refer me to people, and essentially, I got nowhere. I didn't get any phone calls.
Red Cross people, very angry.
Whoever's
very
running the show there, not upset. They're not even contacting me. Point is, I got a buddy of mine at University of Advancing Technology, where they have lots of good stuff. One of the people going there, just like Nate, I said, listen, I know you're in contact with someone at Microsoft. Give him a call or an email or whatever and see if he can help us out. See if he can send us some Xboxes for this thing. Because I bet he would. And he's like, you know what? I can do better than that. I can send you 25 Xboxes. I can send you 15 Nintendo 64s. And I can send you 15 Dreamcasts. The guy was not full of hot air. Lo and behold, in your house and mine and this other guy's house, we have like 10 giant boxes of video game stuff.
Yeah, Nate stopped me. I was working. He's like, oh, yeah, we got to get some stuff. Yeah. Can I put it in your car? He's like, oh, no problem.
All and donated.
Huge boxes. Tons of them.
All donated to go towards relief effort, which no one has contacted me about. So I know they got a lot of stuff to do. I feel it was a missed opportunity. And if ever they want to contact me in the future, I welcome it. But for now, what we're going to do is put all the things that they donated to us to good use with the Get Well Gamers Foundation. We've had Ryan Sharp, the founder of the Get Well Gamers Foundation, on the show before, so you all know it's a good cause. And they will go to another good cause rather than Katrina Relief. But I just wanted to let you know that all happened. I might even have pictures of the stuff we got so you guys can see the wonderful things that Microsoft did for us. And all the people who will benefit from the systems will be very happy and appreciative of Microsoft. So thank you very much. I'm sorry I didn't get to a couple of the callers who called in. Next time, if you can call a little bit earlier, that'd be awesome. And we'll talk to you about all the other stuff. We'll be back next week, everybody. Thanks, Julie, for joining us. Thank you, Nate.
Bye, everybody.
See you next week.
Have a good week.